All right, well, I'm just gonna go ahead and get started. I know folks are still out in the hall infusing the caffeine, and that's totally fine. They will quietly wander in as we go on. My name is Deb Nicholson. I work at the Free Software Foundation, and I am our membership coordinator. That's me. We had, at the Free Software Foundation in the fall, we hosted a summit around the issue of increasing women's participation in free software. And what we found, amongst other things, which some of which we'll get into today and some we won't, was that almost everyone at the table, despite being involved in free software for years, being highly intelligent and accomplished and all of those things, all felt like, am I really the person who can talk about this? And it was kind of amazing, because once we realized, oh, we all felt like that, then we thought about, well, who else? So here I am. Let's start with something that we already know. Women like freedom. There's women here. You guys all like freedom?
Oh, yeah.
Woohoo! That's right, we do. We not only like it, we need it. Everyone is at their best when they're free. When you have to work under a lot of constraints, you don't do your best work. Especially if those are, I'm not talking about like a challenge like, oh, I'm gonna run a race. I'm talking about like a lot of like crufty stupidness, for lack of a better term. So speaking of that, we don't yet live in a utopia, which means that we really need everyone at their best. There's a lot of work to be done in the world. Women also like software. I'm gonna guess like everyone in here likes software. Is that true? Fantastic. You're here early on a Sunday morning. I didn't think I was going out on a limb there. Software is pretty darn useful. It's good for correspondence, word processing, running a business, finding and sharing news, looking at media, pictures of cats. There's all kinds of great stuff, fun, not fun, individual. But it's not just good for individuals. Software is also good for running a government, producing news, sharing your opinion with your community. In short, what I'm saying is participating fully in your democracy, in your country, in your nation, in your city, in your business community, all of those things, we do a lot of that work through software. It used to not be the case. You could, you'd go down to the pub, you'd chat, you would maybe make up a spreadsheet and pass it out in the middle of your village. That's not what happens anymore. You turn on your computer and you start to integrate with the world. So there's even more stuff that software is good for. Not necessarily everybody in this room is gonna do all of these things, but they could turn out to be really, really important. And I'd like to see world hunger solved. I'd like to see time travel and peace on Earth. But we're gonna need more people involved. So we can't cut out half of the population if we're ever gonna have any of this cool stuff. So software is important. So far, we have a list of things that are important: freedom, software, everyone's participation. Why is everyone's participation important? Because those first two things are not gonna take care of themselves. Freedom doesn't just happen. There might be a bumper sticker that says that. It's not true. It actually has to be watched and worked for and struggled for, and people who want to take away our freedom have to be stopped at every turn. So there's a giant pile of, other sorts of, impulses in the world, like to make money or to accumulate goods, or just to sort of get by easy and not respect other folks. And so that's a lot of things to overcome. So freedom is not free and not without work. So everyone's participation. You guys have probably already gleaned that there's a little bit of a lack of women in the free software community. And according to the FLOSS polls, women comprise less than 2%. So that's not just like, I feel like maybe there could be more women. It's sort of, it's a really distinct and kind of unnerving lack, and it makes it a little weird. The good news, we have nowhere to go but up. So, yay, focus on the strengths. The bad news, we have some crazy ideas and some bad habits have been floating around. like I said, 2% is a really small number, and it creates some really strange dynamics. So those things need to be identified and changed. Some crazy ideas that we can toss: women just aren't into computers. I know there's folks that do Ruby here. There's two women came here from Tor. The DreamWidth Project, 75% of their developers are women. Everyone here today. I'm sure there's tons of other projects that fall into that category, but I didn't want to take up many, many slides there. So, another crazy idea that we can toss is that programming is a magical skill. It's not. People learn it all the time. People who are absolutely certain that they could never learn to program, learn to program. I learned how to write some PHP code. I thought I would never do that. And it actually wasn't that difficult. This is from someone who, you know, took 6 years of French and then was like, oh, that English with the extra punctuation, that must be crazy hard. It turns out, not the case. Programming requires just a plain old run-of-the-mill computer. Nothing special, nothing scarce, nothing supernatural, like an Orb of Thessalus. Like, you can even get like a crummy old computer, not shiny, ugly, cracked case, and you can still write code. And another crazy idea, this is a little tongue-in-cheek here, that if we bring women into our free software communities, that they're going to fundamentally change in a way that's somehow not productive. Let's get rid of that one as well. There are already groups for knitting and things like that. People can go to them if they want to go there. People who want to hack or work on free software or promote free software come to free software projects. People can also do both, and they might knit you a fuzzy glove if you are nice to them. So, in short, if someone is coming to your free software project, they're aware that free software is happening there, and the promoting and developing of free software is what's going to be going on. How many of you work on a project that has as much help as you need? More people than you want contributing code, more people promoting, more people helping get more adoption? Ooh. Just one. Okay. So some better habits. Anyone can be into free software. Assumptions create barriers. So if someone comes to your project and says, like, hey, I'd like to help out, there's some ways to handle that are good and positive, and there's some ways like, oh, we already have a girl that does the website. Right. Okay, so let's just assume that people can do any number of different things at your project, and you won't know what those skills are until you ask them. Everyone was new to free software at some point. Sometimes when you hear or read writing about women's participation or bringing in new people, those two ideas tend to get conflated. And that's not really helpful. There's new to free software, and then there's being a woman in the free software world. And those are two different things. So I just want to make sure that, you know, as we move forward, we don't conflate those two things. Working on a well-run free software project is a lot like a professional situation, even if you are doing it for fun. And what I mean by that is the kind of way that you interact with folks, like deadlines are great, other sorts of professional behavior, remembering that, like, hey, we're not planning a rave, we're trying to work on a software project that is going to do something. And it is work. We're actually asking folks to do work, whether we're asking them to do paid work or unpaid work. Everyone who comes to the table and says, I'm willing to do this, deserves respect. So exactly what are we going to do here today? We're going to learn about some concrete ways to improve recruitment and retention of women in free software projects. We're going to meet some folks that are already doing a really great job on their own free software projects, and we're going to enjoy each other's company. Yeah, that's right. Good. So a little bit about companionability. Please don't interrupt. Go ahead, raise your hand. We definitely want to have it be a conversation back and forth, but don't interrupt. And like I said, do ask questions, and we want to hear comments. But try to make sure you're not that person who's asking all the questions, because we have a lot of folks here, and I think we'd all like to hear a little bit from a lot of different people instead of a lot from one or two people. That's everyone is with me on that?
Yeah.
Okay. And then there is some stuff that would be considered sort of feminism 101, and I'm going to ask folks in advance, don't take it personally if someone recommends that you look at the basic stuff online in order to let the discussion move forward. Some of those, you know, hopefully we swept away some of that stuff in the early part of this discussion, but if someone says, like, hey, that's a really one-on-one discussion, I'd like you to take a look at it online and let us move forward at this level. Don't take that personally. It might be me later. So what else? We've talked about women quite a bit. We're only, 15 minutes into the day here, and I've probably said the word women a lot. And so we had this discussion. The fantastic group of folks that's been participating in the discussions leading up to this day on IRC and through the Women in Free Software mailing list, we sort of were like, well, you know, women, that's really important. That is a clear lack. But what about other sorts of diversity? For myself, and I think for many of us, it would be great to see more folks from other underrepresented groups, people of color, GLBTQQA, differently abled people, people from working class background. We have a lot of college educated folks in the free software movement. So as we noted before, no project is overwhelmed with volunteers and people trying to contribute code and promote their project. So if we think about it just in a numbers perspective, the free software movement could be a lot bigger than it is today. And that would be really exciting. You think of all the projects that you hear about, and maybe you hear about it from afar, and you're like, wow, that is a super awesome project. And then you go somewhere and you meet the one person who's working on it, and you're like, oh, wow, I bet you could probably use like 10 more people on that really ambitious project. They're not going to get those 10 people from other projects because those people are also like the 1 to 3 people on their small projects. So looking outside is going to get us untapped folks. So how can we all help in that regard? Certainly going beyond today, there's lots of things. I'm not going to get into all of that. But for today, I'd like people to be mindful of the way that your words may impact others. So we just talked about a whole pile of underrepresented groups, and so, you know, let's be polite when we discuss folks and communities and in that way. I'd also like people to think about how the strategies that we discussed today could be adapted or extended to build better participation amongst other groups. We're going to have a little bit at the end of the day today where I'm going to ask you all to tell me how you thought today went and what you think. And in that discussion, I'd like to hear, especially some suggestions on how we can increase participation amongst other underrepresented groups. And so, but still, as we go along today, feel free to make constructive suggestions based on your experiences with other communities. And I think that's it. Do you guys have any questions about what we're doing today and what is going on?
Mm-hmm. What started that meeting and what started the process for there actually being a Women's Day at this conference?
I would say that it sort of came out of a zeitgeist of conversations within the free software community. There were a number of different incidences last year that people felt were really negative for community that comprises less than 2% women. And I think when folks spoke up and said, like, hey, I don't think that was okay, or I don't really like the way the women were portrayed in that discussion, or, you know, I don't really like the, you know, the implicit assumptions that were made in these kinds of slides or these kinds of presentations. And, I don't want to get into all of them. Like, you want to?
I have a couple really awesome examples.
Code like a porn star.
Code like a porn star.
Has some implicit assumptions in there.
How about there, some, just pulling your leg?
So hold on a second, because I totally want to address that point, because I think it's a very important address. Other things like a gentleman gave a presentation in which every single image on every single slide was a picture of women's body parts or actual whole women in various states of undress, including some like lingerie. We're not talking about like, oh, she's wearing something lacy.
That's okay.
Okay, because of course we need to be polite and respectful of other people.
Because we want an example.
I think it's really important to realize that having a sense of humor is a vital component of participating in any community. And there are times when there are things that are said or done that I happen to think are hilarious, but which other people around me find to make them really uncomfortable, or make them feel like they've been marginalized, or make them feel like their opinions are being pulled down. And I think that our overall goal here is to get good stuff done together. And if our dialogue or if the images that we display is keeping people from actually being able to get good stuff done because they're sitting there going, wow, I don't look like her, or I don't feel comfortable when I see this sort of ASCII art, or I don't really feel good when sexualized things are used to sell me a product or a clothing style, we're basically limiting our ability to get good stuff done. We're limiting our contributor base, and that's really not serving the overall goal, which is get more people involved in free software and get more good free software written for the better of all.
Sexist notions were not relevant to the subject matter at hand out of school, right?
I don't. So like a leg of a fishnet stocking with some butt on display does not to me equal agile. Maybe. maybe I don't understand agile programming sufficiently, but.
So the conversation, can I get to you in a second? Okay. So the conversation sort of started online, and I think that a lot of women in the free software movement started looking around and they were like, oh, I thought I was the only one that was feeling like that was really gross and I didn't feel okay about it. And then we realized like, wow, there's actually a lot of us here that are interested in talking about this and are not afraid to have our real names online associated with, I wasn't okay with that. Because I think when there is such an overwhelming majority, there's a little bit of reticence to be to come out and say, I'm the person who's not okay. I'm in a room with 100 people that thought that was fine, and I'm the person who thought it wasn't okay. And that's a really difficult place to be when you're already different from everybody else in the room. I'm going to take Jeff and then over here. So.
Yeah. Another good example that I kind of participated in on the periphery was there was a sticker that was very popular for a while that was about DRM, and the image that was used on the anti-DRM sticker was a woman in a position that was obviously a sort of, I don't know how else to put it, a BDSM almost type of thing, where her arms were tied behind her in a way obviously, I mean, it wasn't like this. It was like this.
A stress position.
Yeah, a stress position, exactly. I mean, it was, I found the image disturbing. I mean, and
your image is disturbing. That's
well,
it's not disturbing in the same way, and
no,
I think it's bad to conflate
it's
that.
Not, yeah, and it's not, to me, it's not enough to say, oh, well, this is bad, and so therefore it's okay if we do this. There's the image, what I found particularly disturbing is once people actually started commenting on the image and how it was disturbing, the reaction within the community was one of, well, you know, what's wrong with it? And you're just overreacting, and I don't see what the problem is. And that, to me, that's part of the problem. Part of the problem, when you have an environment in which it's largely homogenous, because it's like 98%, you know, white males, you know, and if you're having that inability to see things from a different perspective, you know, then you have to realize, well, part of the problem is that because we don't have enough people that are outside of that demographic group within the free software community, sometimes it's hard for people who haven't been exposed to ideas different than their own or perspectives different than their own to grasp that. But the problem is that once people start explaining it to you, don't belittle them. Don't sit there and minimize what they're trying to say. And that was what I saw that was happening within the community, was that even once people started pointing it out, the arguments were minimized.
It was a loss of focus. It's so you have a whole bunch of folks that have come together to talk about like how to promote and protect and develop free software, and then all of a sudden it got down to this really micro level, like do we keep the sticker or not keep the sticker, and that isn't productive. Like no software is getting written while that discussion is going on. So it's just like it's a separate, not useful use of time. So I'm gonna you had a comment. I actually don't want to do that, but I am going to try and mix it up, and I do want to hear from not only men. Go ahead. Thanks, Ashish. And I want to point out that it doesn't only have to be women speaking up. And it hasn't only been women speaking up. We've had a lot of men have been really supportive and fantastic. In fact, to come to this conference, we set up a travel fund to help women with the cost of travel to come and join us at Libre Planet. And you know, like I said, our community is mostly men now, and for the contributions to that fund, it was mostly men. So there have been some, like, there are some men who get it and are supportive and want us to be able to have these conversations and are willing to speak out in their own communities. So, up at the top, I'm sorry, over here first. Of women who have been driven offline. Thank you.
What's the notion of a quick? Oh, hi.
Sorry. Behind you is a hand, so I'm going to go there first.
Oh, I'm first officer of the new director of access technology project here. I have one announcement, which I don't know if you know, Deborah, or not, but my Susan Hofstetter, my lovely wife with almost 23 years, has in the last couple of months been elected to board of directors of Leap for Programming Freedom. Become the first woman in a high-ranking position in an organization that is very close to you and has been since about five years ago. So that was definitely a, I think, a major step forward in this area. And then I just have one vocabulary thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, I grappled over that. I'm glad that you shared that. So okay. Do people have anything else on like sort of the general stuff or think what I've said so far? Right here. I'm gonna let Selena comment to what you said so far. Well, I also want to point out that we are talking about free software communities. A lot of times when we speak about feminist issues, people get like, well, you can't tell everyone what to do and what to say and how to behave. And that is, of course, true. And that's not what we're going for today. What we're saying is, kind of going back to what Selena said, What we're saying is, this is what is going to make our community more welcoming to women. People can have pictures of women wearing whatever on their own computers, at other places, at events that are about fishnets or whatever. Free software conferences are not about fishnets. So it's not the right place to have that.
Keeping things on topic.
Right, exactly. I'm going to... Selena, do you want to follow up, and then we'll go this way?
I just have
Okay. I'm going to, did you, or did she say what you were going to say?
I just wanted to make the really quick
and then
point
I said
that there's a wonderful, obvious phrase, which is that there is a time and a place for everything. It's not necessarily college. But there's, you know, so exactly to Deb's point, right? If you want to have a picture of fishnets on your computer at the fishnet conference, woo, I celebrate your fishnet conference. And I hope you have a very wonderful time with that. But it's you know, at a software conference, that's not really the appropriate thing.
Right. And then over here, and then I'm going to close this part down in a minute.
See, the part of Toby's remark was that for a logical point, he's saying that the other end of the spectrum would be prudishness. And to the male brain, that type of perspective is satisfying. It's satisfying. So it's not all positive.
There are a lot of things that I find satisfying, but I don't do them in public. Okay. We haven't heard Clara and then Jeff, and then we do have to move on. Leslie's going to talk about. I would like folks to be able to talk about the mentoring, and maybe over the course of the day we'll let some of these other thoughts sort of percolate a little bit and have a slightly different perspective later in the day. So Clara and then Jeff, and then we're going to go over here. That's right. John Ashcroft, show us the code.
John, he was a lawyer. Legal code is code.
Okay.
I think you're not going to solve the John Ashcroft problem here, but fortunately or unfortunately, your prospective man has passed away. So
he's not going to show us any more code. Okay, I think Jeff had something to say, and then we're gonna I'm gonna give the floor to Leslie.
Your earlier comment about prudishness, there was sort of an unspoken assumption then that women are inherently prudish, and that's not necessarily true either.
No.
So you know, but that's what my
because
point is.
Ashcroft was the example. He's the man.
Do you really want to use John Ashcroft as an example of
the? Yeah, he was the one.
If you want to have a community that is inclusive, if you want the community to get bigger, if you want to be able to attract more brilliant people to come into the community and write code and participate, if you want to raise more money for free software projects, then you have to take things into consideration. And in consideration of the women that participate in the free software movement, you should think, oh, well, putting titties up on the screen when I'm talking about free software is not appropriate.
But they're only 2%. Come on, man.
Wow, that's a way to keep them.
Yeah, that's why they're only 2%.
Yeah, that's
it. I'm not going to say somewhere where I walk into a conference and I am being sexually objectified on the screen, and that's why women are walking.
And it's not just the 1 or 2% of men that are actively doing this stuff. It's the fact that almost everybody else is passively condoning it, because a lot of the other men who see these things happen will sit back and go, that's fine.
I like that.
They won't say anything at all. And so to the women who might be afraid or scared or intimidated, they're going to look at that and they're going to say, well, nobody's standing up for me. So how, you know, am I welcome in this community? Probably not. That's how they're going to interpret it.
So I'm going to play. Oh, it's the camera.
No, we'll keep it productive.
It's okay. I'm going to hold this over here. I don't necessarily know that we're going to solve the prudishness problem and or whether or not that's actually a problem. Hi, I'm Leslie Hawthorne, and I'm not prude. And I find a fair number of the things that we have discussed today to be slightly disturbing, and I think John Ashcroft was a moron for trying to dress up a statue of blind justice, and perhaps he might want to have taken it up with the Greeks or whoever first made that statue and tell them how awful they were. And that would have probably been okay. So right now I'm experiencing, so I was very bad last year and brought my MacBook Pro to Software Freedom Day. It was roundly criticized and quite appropriately. So I now have my cute little Acer running Ubuntu Netbook Remix and am properly using the appropriate software, which is not projecting. So I'm going to stand up here and wave my arms around instead.
Bravo.
Thank you. Were there any other comments or I actually think we've been having a really good dialogue about women's participation in the free software community together, and I think the most important thing that we can all actually do is really talk about what bothers us. And I think men should feel free to say that they're bothered by things too. Like, sometimes it bothers me when I feel like people are being overly sensitive, but I think by virtue of the fact that I'm a woman, I can walk up to someone and say, you know when you were really upset that someone said that this software package was hot and it bothered you? I don't understand why it bothered you. Can you explain that to me? So I think we should continue having an open dialogue, and it's not just because my slides aren't working. Yes, all the way at the back.
So I don't want to be using code being written by people thinking that's it. I want to be code written by people thinking about the code.
Okay.
How unreasonable.
Mr. Collins, I get some of my best work in all areas done when thinking about things that are best not mentioned, really. So I don't know what to tell you. But I respect your viewpoint.
I realize it's tangential to the community aspect of it, but sexual images don't bother me, but I don't see any justification for them at all.
I think that this is a question that really is important to me as we talk about the free software community, because I don't think that this is a problem unique to free software. How many of you see commercials for, say, toothpaste, where there is someone wrapped in a towel, glistening from the shower, brushy, 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 and it's this overly sexualized image to sell you toothpaste, right? Or whatever, or toilet paper, for goodness sake, like anything. And I think that one of the problems that we're facing is that as a community, we're trying to be inclusive and educate people about free software and the value system of freedom. And we're using a dialogue that is common in our society, which is really about consumerism and really not what our value system is about.
Yep.
Can I get an amen? Yay! Ms. Aaron. Sexualized images was a Ruby on Rails conference. I don't want to interrupt you, but I have another story to share with you.
No, so but I was just wondering, has anyone
in a conference presentation. This was actually at an after-conference activity last year at OSCON, and I was actually present for it. So I don't mind sharing the story, although I will leave out the names of some of my fellow party attendees. So there was an after-party sponsored by an organization that was, you know, a free software organization. And so we all trooped off down to a club, and we were all sort of milling about having a good time. And I noticed that there were some women there dressed in some very provocative outfits who clearly were not the conference attendees, because I don't know about all of you, but I don't go to OSCON or any conference in like 6-inch heels. And so they were wandering around, and I honestly thought that they were like the people who were serving drinks, right? Because they were dressed like folks when you go to a club to serve drinks. And then later on, I sort of noticed that they weren't carrying any drinks. And so I was kind of like, I was sort of wondering why they were there. And later it came to light that these women had been hired to attend the party to, I believe the quote was, balance the gender ratio, because there were obviously going to be far more men in attendance at this party than women. And what was really interesting to me was that it very clearly made some of my men friends extremely uncomfortable that these women were there and were paying attention to them and were being maybe flirtatious, overly gregarious, pick your phrase.
Doing their job.
Gropey.
Doing their job. Doing what they were paid for.
I don't think the issue is whether or not they were doing their job properly. They were absolutely doing what they got paid for. I think the issue was that someone paid for them to be there in the first place. Like, I don't know about any of you, but when I go to a club after party at a free software conference, I don't feel the need to like make sure that there is gender parity so that I can feel comfortable. The shaming has occurred. Victory. Yes, Ms. Sandler.
Or congratulations.
Other questions, comments? I can tell a really horrible story from this actual party, because clearly we all like gossip. Yes, she. Thank you for saying it. Thank you, Aaron. But that was a useful suggestion.
And the second thing I want to say is just that I appreciate you playing over that fitness run, but it's been difficult if you didn't run a lot. So I wonder if you could give all try to stick to raising your hand and being called up. But
I'm not in the run.
No, you are.
You are.
No. Everybody thinks you are.
When you interrupt, you're talking on to somebody.
You are happy to be one. You did. I'm consistently speaking after almost everyone who speaks.
did say donor up. Also, so let's all raise our hands, and then if we could also keep in mind, and I mean everyone, I would prefer to hear a little bit from a lot of different people rather than a lot from one or two people. Even if you have a lot to say, please, we have a lot of folks in the room. If you found that you've commented on the last three things that were said, then stop talking for a little bit. Thank you.
And this is why Deb is my hero. Thank you. Okay. So do people want to hear the truly scary story?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the free software community thrives on gossip. So a very obvious moment was had about why such behavior is actually counterproductive to you if you're trying to help out the free software community. So two friends of mine, both of whom are some of the sweetest gentlemen I have ever met and the most incredibly polite people I have ever seen, were standing talking to one of the women in question who was hired to be at the event, and they were both sort of literally leaning back like this while they were speaking to her. And I was trying to understand what was going on, and I thought, I'm going to go rescue them because I think that they're both married and they don't know how to politely say, nice lady, please stop talking to me, I am married. So I ran over and I threw my arms around both of them and I'm like, hey, can I see you in my office for a second, which is code for we're going to walk over here. And I'm like, can I just borrow them for a second, honey? And she's like, oh yeah, sure. And they both looked at me and they're like, we're afraid, we're really afraid. And I'm like, why are you afraid? And they said, well, she was just telling us how her mom promised that if she finished high school, she would pay for her breast implants. And no, call me crazy, that's not really representative of women in the free software community. How many of you finished high school without bribery? Great! All right, so again, we want to be representative of our community when we're bringing in anyone to work on stuff. My slides are just not going to work. I think I've accepted that. Yeah, go ahead.
So, speaking to the comment about people's writing that they want to store code up and get hookers back, or oh, other unseemly things that we've read, is that sometimes people are irreverent, whereon they may be trying to, in an irreverent manner, be trying to show their First Amendment rights for expression, and it's just unfortunate that they do that. It takes a strong stomach to deal with it. You can try to befriend those people and see them improve, or you can point out to other people that they're talking about something that is not relevant to that channel or mailing list or group, and try to seek intervention to have other people agree with you. I got some hands raised. Pick a hand there.
Denise, and then nice lady whose name I don't know, and then nice man whose name I don't know, and then Ashish.
It's possible to be irreverent and playful without being actively offensive.
But we've noticed a trend that people are offensive. We can't stop it. We know it's going to just keep continuing. It's happening. People are doing it, and you can't tell. Shoulds aren't enough. You're going to encounter it again, probably. Shoulds are what more than you can say should or should not. How you remediate the problem.
Yay. So in the particular context of the day that this poke up the dead hooker's back, in that particular, which happened in a free software IRC community, one woman raised it, and she raised it lightly and non-aggressively. She got a pile on. And what happened, and this is what people have been saying about whether or not not have responded to the, hey, you shouldn't have said that, with, hey, why are you trying to silence this person in the rights? They should have responded to the, hey, you shouldn't have said that, with, you know what, dude, that wasn't respectful. Like, yes, you have First Amendment rights, and you know who's not coming after you? The government. If I call up John Ashcroft and say, or the current government, and say, hey, if you stop and shut these people up on IRC, then I'm violating their First Amendment rights. But I'm not doing that. I'm asking them to be respectful.
To make one really quick closing point before we get into the mentoring talk, and this is just by way of trying to help the folks in the room maybe be a little bit more empathetic when there are situations in which women feel the need to speak out when you may not find yourself in that situation. I can be a somewhat blunt communicator, and I have found myself repeatedly in meetings at work when contentious topics are being discussed, being the one who finally sort of sits back and raises her hand and saying, I understand that we're talking about this point, and this point, but I think really the problem is that we really don't want to talk about this aspect of the dialogue, and I think we really need to address that problem first. And it's great that we're all making these points, but it's really not helping us solve the problem. And inevitably, that actually gets the dialogue going where it wants to go, but you get a lot of, you know, not so nice looks, and people kind of think that you're aggressive and maybe... Are we allowed to say that when we're using it as an example of things you can get called?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we've already said the word we're poker like two dozen times.
Okay, well, now you can come across as the aggressive bitch, right, for pointing that out. And then the weird thing is, and this happens all the time in a sort of different way in through software and online communities, I would walk out the door and I would feel not so great about having been the one to be like, hi, I'm going to be the jerk and get us back on track. And the number of people who would come up to me and say, Leslie, I am so glad that you brought that up. Like, you're the only person who has the guts to say in that meeting, blah, 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 and I'm so glad you did it. And all I could think was, where were you? Why didn't you support me? Why didn't you ask the question yourself? Why didn't you have the courage to, at the very least, say, yes, we should do X, Y, and Z? So I think that one of the most important things that I can let the men in the audience know is, if a woman, a person, anybody, if any human being in your community, and any gerbils or any other participants you may have, we don't want to be discriminatory, makes a point that they're uncomfortable, please take the opportunity, even if you don't agree with them, to just ask them why. Tell them you don't want them to be uncomfortable. You would prefer to understand where they're coming from rather than just dismissing them. And that actually is a really powerful way to make your community a welcoming place. If people know that their voice can be heard, even if it's not agreed with. Okay, and then I'm talking.
When somebody says they're uncomfortable, don't fall for that. That's off topic.
That's not off topic at all.
Let it go. Let it go. It's not in the discussion. Just let it go. And a lot of women, I think, are faded like that. And then, you know, just don't pay any attention.
Okay. Hi, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Hi. Thank you.
Yes. Again, focus. Kind lady whose name I don't know, please make continue your dialogue.
So that was just, you know, that was just my point, that I was kind of shocked by that, and I appreciate the comments that I've heard elsewise that say that's not the standard, which makes me far more interested in, you know, learning about software projects and possibly becoming involved. I would just, everything else aside, I would pick a group that says, no, that's not how we behave. 100 times.
Real words from an actual brand newbie. Thank you. And okay, there are a couple more hands, and then I really am going to talk about mentoring. Yes, sir.
Yes, I've read Unlocking the Clubhouse. I don't know how many people have read Unlocking the Clubhouse. Unlocking the Clubhouse is a fantastic book on this set issue. We've been discussing a lot about overly sexualized communications and jokes in the board case. This is one issue that is raised in the book. In their study of why women leave computer science, they also identify other
Selena, and then Robert, and then at 11:40 we will begin the regularly scheduled presentation. Robert? Okay, last question.
The reason there's only 2% of women in the software company is not because we're overly aggressive in discussion. It's not because overly competitive development. It is because of what?
I think that's fine.
I'm sorry, wait a minute. How are you qualified to speak on behalf of women in any way? Really? Sorry.
I'm talking about a back thing.
Apparently, when I laid down ground rules for today, I'm not speaking for anybody else's experience. My experience, it's like women are told they're not interested, and then they're believing what people are telling them. So I don't believe in a rule. Okay, I just want to say thank you, Lori, and I didn't think I actually had to put this on a slide, but I really don't want speakers telling, for people to tell other folks that they are wrong. A lot of what we're talking about is opinions, and I just, that's not okay. That's not polite conversation, and I would like us to not have this be like a in-person flame fest.
It's
so please,
okay to tell people to shut up, but it's not okay to tell people they're wrong.
Okay, if you cannot be polite and constructive, then
I'm
we are, and you're not being constructive. I think you should, I think you should go to a different room.
Excuse me, that was threatening and inappropriate, and you should
that
leave now.
That was really inappropriate.
You need to go.
I think you need to leave the room.
Come on.
No,
I think
no,
you need to
leave.
Ashish? Yes. I think that it's okay if you stay and he doesn't say anything. I think that if you want to see what we're talking about, that's okay. But I think that you haven't shown your respect.
Finally, a voice of reason. Wow.
So if you're going to stay, then I'm going to ask you to not speak anymore.